Well, we've been staying in the thought in the last couple of weeks on the God of fire. The God of fire. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. He's a lot different than anything or anybody else that you'll ever meet. He's a God of fire. We'll talk about as Moses, God had broke through to him in that Sinai desert. The bush was aflame. We'd seen there the witness of the fire. Boy, he got Moses' attention. Then last week we looked about the prophet Jeremiah. Boy, it seemed like the whole world had rejected his message. We seen there the word of the fire. He said, I couldn't stay still because in my bones was a fire, and it was a burning. And that's what we need this morning. We need fire in our hearts and our souls that we might have joy. We need fire that we might do our job. And we need fire that we might carry on in our journey. And oh, that was the word of the fire. But now then, this morning, I want to look, and you may have never seen this in the text. You may have never heard it preached upon. But it's found in 2 Samuel chapter number 14. And I'll start reading in verse number 25. And my thought this morning is the work of fire. The work of fire. Here I'll give you a little background of the story. David is king. The psalmist David, he's king of Israel. He has had children, and one of his children's name was Absalom, and he was known for his long hair. Then Absalom had a sister. And Absalom also had another brother, and he done that unspeakable act to his sister. He raped his own sister. Well, Absalom had him killed. Now, David, the king of Israel, he's at odds with his son Absalom. And Absalom is moved back now into the nation of Israel, but he cannot get to the palace, down to Daddy's house. King David wouldn't let him come to his house. He said, you're just disgusting. You've taken the life of one of my children, your own brother. You killed him. That's the way a lot of Baptist people are. They kill their brother and their sisters by their tongues and by the things that they say and that they do. But here the Bible starts now in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 14, verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Now, some of the ladies would have loved to have seen Absalom. He's the type of man, he'd have walked in Walmart, and you might have stopped pushing your budget. Got to looking around and said, my, what a specimen. But certainly, this beauty was just on top of his head and not in his heart. Well, the Bible said that went from the sole of his foot, even the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he pulled his head, or he cut his hair, the Bible said, when he pulled his head, for it was at every year's end that he pulled it. I mean, everybody ought to have a haircut once a year. Because the hair was heavy on him, and therefore he pulled it or he cut it. Then he weighed the hair of his head. There's 200 shekels after the king's weight. Now that's about 3 pounds in our weight system. Boy, I tell you, he had a lot of hair. Verse 27, and unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. There he had not seen King David for 2 years, his own daddy. had him run out of the palace, wouldn't let him come around the house. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab. This man Joab was the chief lieutenant in David's guard. Joab was the keeper of the house. He was David's right-hand man. He was his chief lieutenant. So Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Now, Absalom had something going on. He said, "My daddy loves Joab. My daddy and Joab are the best of friends. They work together every day, and if anybody's got access to my daddy's heart, Joab does." So he called for Joab, and he said, "Joab, I want you to get me back in fellowship with my daddy." He said, "I'm missing some things down at his house, and I've sent for you one time, but now I have sent again the second time. I want to remind you this morning in the reading of the text, it's the king's son that's sending out for the one to come. Not only did he send once, but he sent twice. Aren't you glad that the king's son is a son of grace, that he don't just give up on us one time when he wants our attention, but he will call again?" So here, Absalom sends for him the second time, and he would not come, he said in verse 29. So now in verse number 30, Absalom gets this great saying in his heart that he's going to do, that he would get Joab's attention. He said, "Okay, I've sent for you not once, but I've sent for you twice. You'll not come to me, then I will get your attention." So this is what Absalom does. The Bible said in verse 30, "Therefore he said unto his servants, See, Joab's field is near mine. He hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servant, there's the text, set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I send unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. If there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. My thought this morning is the working of fire. Many times in our life, God sets our field afire. God here, He's used fire to work in another one's life. I want to remind you this morning of three things, and then we'll be done. First of all, I want you to see the plan of working. There was a plan of working. Then secondly, you'll notice the pain of working. And then thirdly, you'll notice the picture of working. God used fire to work out in a man's life. First of all, the plan of working. I want you to note it was a divine plan. It was thought by the king's son. In Isaiah 44 and 6, you can hold your text, but in Isaiah 44 and verse number 6, I want you to notice the reading about a divine plan. It was thought by the king's son. There the Bible reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set an order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming," mark this in your Bible, "and shall come. let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yeah, there is no God. I know not any. God says that He's appointed not only the things that have come, but the things that shall come. And I want to remind you this morning that God has a divine plan. I'm just glad that you and I are part of His little plan. God has a divine plan. Secondly, it is a distinct plan. Now, the king's son knew how to get his attention. I want to say that again. The king's son knew how to get Joab's attention. I want to remind you this morning that our king's son, the Lord Jesus, knows how to get our attention. It is a distinct plan. Now, maybe he could have taken Joab's car and let it break down. But that he knew that it wouldn't get Joab's attention. Maybe he thought that he could take his dog and go and relieve him of maybe his prized possession. But I want to remind you that the king's son had a distinct plan. He knew exactly how to get in touch with him. He burned his steel. And then thirdly, not only do you find it's a distinct plan, but it was a disguised plan. Why was it a disguised plan? Because it was a working for the son. You see, a lot of times, his ideas and his ways are not your ways or my ways. But a lot of times when God goes to getting our attention by the thing, it's a disguised plan. He's just wanting to get our attention. And many times in our life, it's disguised the way that it comes. But we always got to realize that it's working out for His good and His glory. We see it's a disguised plan. It was a different plan. Here He burnt a field. It was full of barley or it was full of corn. It was a key ingredient of that day in order that one may live and survive. Now I want to remind you that this barley field just didn't come up wild. But here Joab had given the sweat of his brow and he had worked a lot in that field to plow and to cultivate and to fertilize. And as he started seeing that crop come out of the ground, he said, boy, I've got a good beginning of a crop. Then no doubt God had sent a rain and he started growing and blessing that crop. But now news has come to him and said, listen, that crop and that field that you love so much, that you've got your eyes set on, that your heart turned towards, it's burned with fire. And it got his attention. That's just like the Lord knowing how to get my attention. You see, it was a different plan. And your field this morning may be filled with barley. It may be filled with wheat. Maybe fill with corn, but you do have a field that God can set afire that will get your attention. This morning, a different plan. It was a difficult plan. It took what was very precious to Joab and set it afire. Isn't it amazing that many times that the things that are most precious in our lives, God sets it aside, destroys it, and takes it away? And I wonder, dear Lord, why couldn't I have just had that? And Lord, why did you have to get this? And Lord, why did you get that? Dear God, it was very special to me because He wanted to get my attention. You see, you go down to my house this morning, I've got a garage standing outside. God could take and get that garage. It really wouldn't affect me that much. When he'd go over just about 25 yards into another building of where I live, then he can get my attention. This morning I'm talking about the plan of working. God is never still. God is always working in our lives. Number two. Not only the plan do we see it working, but we see the pain is a working. Now notice, if you would, back to that text, and you'll see that the Bible said in verse number 30, therefore he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine. He hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. The pain of working. The Bible said in verse 31, then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house. Said to him, wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire? Let me ask you this question. If Joab would have came to the king's son on the first call, would he have lost his field? If Joab would have came to the son of the king's call the second time, would he have lost his field? No. This field got his attention, and we see here the pain is a-working. It's amazing to me how God works out pain for our good. The Bible said in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And God will come by from time to time and get those precious things. Little things that might would be our idol. Little things that might come between us and the Lord. But ultimately what He's wanting is for us to just to have the adoration and the worship in my heart that He may get our attention. You see, some of us, it takes more than others. Don't know about you, but I used to raise bird dogs. They'd go out and they'd point quail and they'd find birds. And I noticed that some were born with a different blood than others. Some was as hard-headed. And some came in this world naturally just pointing a bird right out of the box. I've noticed raising children. Some you can snap your finger at and right out of fence. Son, you can go get a ball bat and you'll break the bat. And doesn't do a lot of good. But yet here you'll see the pain is a working. Many times God has to get our attention through pain. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Pain is working. Now there's a few reasons that I found this Bible while God will set your field on fire. First of all, He has set your field on fire for the matter of salvation. Boy, I'm glad. In 1980, I had me a pretty good little crop going. And it was a starting to pay off pretty good, I thought. But then, one time in my life, God set my field afire that I might be saved by the grace of God. What are you talking about? God brought me to the bottom by pain. I may look up and cry out, oh, God, save me. I'm so glad that He set my mighty field afire. I've been going on in my life, I'm not in my own business. But then God got my attention. Well, John, He's a good God to just set a field of fire. But Phil, we didn't even deserve Him to come strike a match and burn our field up to get our attention. But He did. Set our field on fire. And I tell you why He'll burn your field. First of all, the matter of salvation. Some of you gods are dealing with to be saved, you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground. God calls once, He calls twice. He says, okay, I haven't got your attention. I'll have to go to more drastic measures. matter of salvation. The Bible said for today was the day of salvation. God not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. I'm glad that He died for all. I'm glad that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible said that hell is enlarging herself every day. God created hell for the devil and his angels, not for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The pain was a working. I've noticed that in our lives, God will set our fields afire for the matter of salvation. I'm glad He got my peace. But then secondly, not only on the matter of salvation, but the matter of service. God called once, God called twice, and then God may just strike fire to your field. What are you talking about? I'm talking about down at the house of God the way you used to come to, and now you just drop in every now and then. God sets your field afire, He'll get your attention. You know, Brother Mike was talking this morning. Everything's pretty good when your billfold's pretty heavy. Boy, you let something come by and that field gets to burning up and it gets in that billfold, Brother Gerald. And then you have a tendency to say, oh Lord, how am I going to pay my bills next week? Well, maybe if you was a worshiping God and been faithful to His house, maybe that big bill wouldn't have come up the way that it did. God's going to get your attention and set afire your barley field. He'll set your fields afire in the matter of His service. You say, well, now, Brother Ken, God called me to teach, then teach. Well, Brother Ken, I can't sing. Well, just find yourself making a joyful noise. You can encourage. You can be faithful. You can love your brother and sisters. You can worship God out of your heart and say, thank you, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved. Notice He'll set the barley fields on fire about service. God means business. He's God. There's nobody like Him. A lot of folks think God's just this little old fellow with long gray hair sitting up over in the corner in a rocking chair about wore out and just really wondering if He's going to be able to be God. Well, let me tell you something, friend. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Can we look at that verse this morning? Can we turn over there? I've got it marked. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29. The pain of working. He'll set your field afire for the matter of salvation. He'll set it afire for the matter of service. Romans 11, verse number 29. For the gifts, the calling of God, are without repentance. I want you to look at that word gift. That means a special endowment. It means that He's given you something. What is your gift? It may just be a wonderful gift of encouragement. It's amazing just what a little smile will do. He said the gift that He gave you, said He wasn't repenting about it. He knew that you need it, we need it, and He gave it to you. For the body and the family of Christ. For the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. If God is calling you to do something, honey, He's fixing to set your field on fire. You do it. But it's going to bring pain, hard head. Hard head. Hard head. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If God is calling you in a matter of His service, you can only go so far. He's God. God can tighten the screws down. My dad-in-law talking yesterday, He's waiting on a sheetrock man to get down to the job to get him buttoned up and finished. He said, "Tell you what I'm going to do to you, brother." He said, I'm gonna turn that man over to the Lord. Said the Lord can tighten them screws down on him. Boy, he can do it too, can't he? Oh, sometimes, Brother Gerald, no matter of service, God is so tightened the screws down on me to get so heavy. Setting my fuels afire to get my attention that I may react to His call. There's been times I said, "Dear God, I don't want to preach this message. I want to preach a glory, hallelujah. I don't want to preach this. My people lambast them." You start tightening the screw. Some people I don't want to go see and deal with. God, set that field on fire that He gets yours. Now, I'll tell you something else too. There's a man at an antique store. God's a fixer to set my field afire if I don't go do what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to walk in and ask Him, what does He think about Jesus? And I done been in there twice and ain't done it. Oh, I hate for Him to set my field afire. He knows what's precious to you. Mama, them little babies you're holding and bouncing, oh, you think you got them. They're not yours. He can get them just like that. That job you think so much of, you think it, everything's cush and you got everything set, He can get it just like that. You burn your field up, you get your attention. Matter of fact, God called me to preach. I've never been so devastated in my life. My call to preach was a lot stronger than my salvation call. He knew He had to prove to me I was called to preach the gospel. Brother Gerald, I'm honestly, this got like legion. I was just a wild man. I just about run crazy. But I knew down in my soul that I had a field and God had set it afire if I didn't obey that call. There's times I get tired. But Brother Randall, I'm afraid to set my field afire. And some reasons, the pain of working, the reason that He has set some fields afire, the matter of salvation, the matter of service, and then thirdly and lastly, the matter of sin. If you live like the devil, you're not saved. Don't you notice what this Bible says? And a lot of people have a tendency to run on emotion and feelings. And don't you look what the Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. God has set your field afire about sin. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse 3, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You've not yet resisted in the blood striving against sin. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as unto children. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals you as the sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" And by the way, let me throw this in there, Mom and Daddy. Little Johnny and little Rebecca run around like wild little Indians. If you love them, you'll take care of business. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." That word bastard, that's a fatherless child. In other words, he says, if you can just go out and lay in sin, do whatever you want to, you ain't one of my young ones. Did I beat the fire out of you? That's exactly what that Bible just says. He has set your field on fire about sin. God is still against adultery. God is still against lying and stealing.
set your field afire on sin. Got a call once, say, quit that. Quit. Quit. Then you find your field set afire. He'd get your attention. That field gets to burning, would it not? Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Boy, he knows where to strike a match, too. Down in Tennessee, we'd try to set the field afire sometimes. It wouldn't burn. The grass was too green in the corners. Granddaddy said, tell what to do. Get some of them corn stalks up there, heap them together. Get up there in the middle where it's dry and get it burning. Get a fan out. God knows where to light your field. The pain of the working. God used fire to get his attention. God's using fire to work in our lives. Working the fire. The matter of sin. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. I don't know if you've ever seen this in your Bible or not. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. He has set your field fire on the matter of sin. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. Now, how long can I sin and get away with it? I don't know, but God does. I'm fixing to read you a verse letting you know you can get home early. There's a lot of folks that went across that line and went home early. They could have lived a life of blessing, joy, and happiness. He said, let me tell you what was going on in this church. There was a young kid. There was a boy that was in adultery with his stepmother in this church. And this is what they told him. They said, okay, if you're not repenting of your sins, we're going to turn you over to Satan. The Bible said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What are you saying? I'm saying he'll kill you graveyard dead just to save your soul. You know what Paul told the young man? He said, if you'll not repent, turn your sins, I'm going to turn you over to Satan. God's going to take you home early. Look what it says. That you may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's your spirit. Not your flesh. Ain't none of us taking this flesh to glory. It's what's inside us, what we got to be preparing for. Got to set your field on fire about sin, young people. I know some of you are dabbling around in some things, but let me tell you something. There's a payday coming someday. There's a hell to gain and a hell to shine. God will set your field afire about sin. He does mine. And the thing about it, I know He'll do it. Lastly, this morning, not only do you see the plan of working, pain working, then thirdly, the picture working. Go back to that text there. Now to close, Miss Sherry, Tim, whatever's on y'all's heart this morning. The Bible said he came to the field that was on fire. And he said, why have you set my field on fire? And Absalom answered him and said, I sent to you, saying, come hither, that I may send you to the king to say, been good for me to have been there still. Let me see the king's face, if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. And Joab came to the king and told him, when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. The picture. It's working out a picture. What is that picture? Well, you see, the picture's working, first of all, is he's just wanting to bring people to the house. When's the last time that you've really got faithful to the king's house? I mean, when's the last time your children knew it was Sunday morning? And it's time to go to the house of the Lord.
Folks, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you. And I'm going to tell you something else. If God didn't love you, He sure wouldn't send you what I've done preached this morning. You're going to have to wait around to God set your field fire and get your attention. The picture. He's wanting you down to the king's house. Secondly, He's wanting you next to the king's heart. The Bible said He reached over and kissed her. Boy, it's a blessing. When the Heavenly Father restores that fellowship and you get back into where you're supposed to be, it ain't nothing like that. In the king's head. Could you imagine Absalom leaving out of there after his father David had reached and blessed him and brought him back in the house, reached over and kissed him? Don't you know that helped him? You know what will help you on your job tomorrow, Monday morning, starting in the morning? You know what will help you on your job to get right down at the king's house? That'll help you more than anything. And I don't care what kind of trial you're facing tomorrow. If you ride at the king's house, it'll be a better day. If you're fellowshipping in the king's heart, it'll be a whole lot better day. I had a preacher friend. God had called him to preach. He was running, wouldn't go. He said, "Brother Ken, I come to in a car wreck. My son landed in the middle of the road. I walked over my boy in the middle of the road and I cried to God and said, 'God, I'll go.'" Reading a text last night, God had impressed on a man's heart a matter of service of what to do, and he wouldn't go, wouldn't do, wouldn't respond, wouldn't react. Little kid crossed the barbed wire fence behind the house. Shotgun went off. Took his life. Daddy surrendered to God the next Sunday morning. Then the little boy's mama got saved the following Sunday. All that might could have been kept from happening if he had just went to the call. My daddy'd always give me good advice. He'd say, "Don't do that. If you do, you're going to suffer these consequences." And I always found my daddy to know exactly what he said. He's a smart man. Don't wait till you feel get set afire. And I want to say this. Every time something happens necessarily don't mean God sets your field afire. But He will get your attention. You may see somebody's field burning up this morning and say, Well, what about Job's field set afire? Brother Mike, the Bible said that he is a man of all the East most righteous. Wouldn't a man like him? God set his heart to field afire. What about Jonah? Why did he find himself in that fish? Because his field got set afire. You know, Mom and Daddy, you may save your house some heartache if you'd gather around this altar this morning and say, "Dear God, I just want to be obedient. You've been showing me what to do, what to give, where to go, what to say, and how to act. I've been rebellious. And God, I want to come. I want to repent. And I want to thank you for your good grace." And you know, then some of us ought to gather around this altar and say, "God, thank you for setting my field afire. Thank you." Folks, I was minding my own business. I was married to the most wonderful girl that Bound had ever hosted. Minding my own business, but God set my field afire by grace that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord. I think I've said enough and preached enough. What's your number, Brother Dave?
Number 141, you come do business with the Lord this morning if you need to come. You know your hearts, you know your needs and your life. Boy, when God sets these barley fields ablaze, you ought to come this morning. Whatever you need in your life, you ought to be obedient. Say, dear God, help me.